This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yeah, it's time to empower, educate, and encourage all women to motivate you through whatever you've been going through. We can talk about it. We ain't passing no judgment. So don't be ashamed. It's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane. It's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane. Come out the dark and don't be. Let's have a conversation on what we face every day. Tune into your lane talk show. It makes us feel good just to know we're not alone. No more will we feel isolated and cast aside. I want you to come out the dark. Just don't be afraid of your heart. So don't be ashamed, it's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane, it's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane, come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane, let's have a conversation on what we face every day.
Hello, hello, hello. Help. Happy Sunday. I done started wrong. Happy Sunday to you and all those who are tuning in. I am so happy to be a part of your company today. I'm Coach Trish Hannah, and the name of the show is Your Lane, and we're excited to broadcast live in Nassau, Bahamas on the Guardian 96.9 FM dial. If you are joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. This show is a place where we empower, encourage, and educate women of all ages. And of course, for the past couple shows that we have had, we haven't really been dedicating the show specifically to the women, all right? We have been gender neutral. All of the shows thus far is just ensuring that everyone gets a little bit of what is being said. And of course, we want to thank the men who tune in as well, regardless of the fact that we say, oh, it's a women's show. Well, today is a little bit different. We're talking about breast cancer, and of course, also get breast cancer. So we want to welcome the men to continue tuning in today, because there's going to be some information that you are going to need. And not only that, if you have a wife, you would want to know this type of information as well. Girlfriend, significant other, you want to know the information, all right? The show will continue to step out of the four walls and into media. So, of course, there are some topics. Now, this one is kind of okay, because there are some churches that discuss breast cancer awareness, etc. But there are some shows that we have had where you would not hear the pastor talk about some of these topics. However, the topics that we do have, you know, we ensure that it's biblical, Bible-based. Whatever it is that we say, that it isn't something that is going to contaminate the believers or those who know what the Word of God says. And so we love that. We love that about us. We live different. I love that. All right. Last week, our topic was the journey of grief, learning to live after loss, where our guests, we had a widow and a widower, shared their stories of loss and healing from losing their spouse. Now, they spoke about support. They spoke about what it is to be in a situation and not have the support. And then there are some, one of them stated, look, I had the support from day one. I had neighbors, you know, I had people that cared for me, and they're still there and they're still supporting no matter what. And I love that. I love that. They also spoke about when is a good time to go back into the dating pool. That's interesting, right? So we had a pastor that shared a little bit. He's like, look, man, I tried to get back in this dating pool, but the person who I was talking to or dating, they said, you're not ready. You ain't ready. You need to go back, because something, you ain't healed yet. You need to, you know. So you want to go ahead and tune into that show. I want you to hear his response to that. All right. The show, once again, is called The Journey of Grief, Learning to Live, is show. That's episode 148. You can find that on YouTube. Just look up Coach Trish Hannah. And while you are there, please like and subscribe, all right? There are lots of ways that we can be heard today. You can tune into The Guardian 96.9 FM dial, of course, if you're on the road now. We're also on channel 969 on cable. And we are on BTC Flow channel 612. We are also on The Guardian Radio app for Android or Apple and on the website www.guardiantalkradio.com. When you go there, if you're on the Guardian Talk Radio dial, on the website, you're going to see a beautiful, well, two beautiful faces, child. I ain't going to say I'm beautiful, little, but we have two beautiful, including myself, a guest in the studio who's extremely beautiful. You want to come and look on there and see who I'm referring to, all right? You can also see her on Your Lane Life Coaching's Facebook page and on YouTube, Coach Trish Hannah. So three different ways to see our beautiful guest today on today's show, all right, where she'll be discussing her journey, and I'm excited about that. Today's topic is titled Life After the Storm, Living with Purpose Beyond Breast Cancer. A journey that shakes not only the body, but also the soul. That's our mind, will, and emotions. It's more to just some physical thing happening to you. This really plays on your mental, this plays on your emotions. And of course, along this journey, there are some women who grow weary from the fight. And just sadly, we want to take a moment just to honor those beautiful women anyway, because those were still souls. There were souls who are no longer with us. And I'm not saying that they're not with us because they did not continue to fight. You have some people who've been fighting, but then physically, things happen. And then you also have some people who been fighting, but then they just get tired. Like, I know someone in particular who say, Lord, just take me because I'm just tired. I'm tired of fighting. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go through all this different therapy and chemo. I don't want to go through it. I just want to go. Everything is going to be fine. I know you're going to make sure everything's fine. For those people, I get that too. The family of those people, we're just going to take couple seconds, just to be still and honor those who have passed because of breast cancer. Amen. Amen. And then there are women who rise, women who discover their strength they never knew they had, women who just, like, no matter what, I have something to look forward to. I have to fight this because I have a little baby. Fight this because I have friends and family who are supporting me, who are pouring into me. And I have one incredible woman in our studio right now who was like, you know what? Don't blame me, cancer. She put on her pink boxing gloves and she said, I'm going to give you a left and I'm going to give you a right. I'm going to give you a punch because I'm not going to let you bring me down. I'm not going to let you have the final say, right? I want to take a moment also to share that it's because of the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group that I found this wonderful guest. And I want to salute the cancer just for allowing me the opportunity. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the show. But before we begin, I want to ask you, our listening audience, right? And especially for those who are our cancer survivors, my question for you today is, what does living with purpose mean to you? What does living with purpose mean to you? And how would you live differently if you knew tomorrow wasn't promised? I have a few books from Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, who was one of my mentors. And I would love who was brave and daring and courageous enough to give us a call. The number to call, the numbers are 1-242-323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Okay, I want to give that book to you. It's a prayer book that he has that I think is incredible. And that prayer book has brought me through thick and thin. I can tell you that for a fact. That prayer book, I even see my husband reading that a couple times. That's how good, it is. And so, of course, you give us a call. You tell us, what does living with purpose mean? Because I'm going to ask my guests that as well.
what does living with purpose mean? And how would you live differently if you knew tomorrow wasn't promised? All right. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to give us a call. And you tell us. And of course, I can make sure you do that for no reason. I can make sure I put a book in your hand from Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. It's called Prayer That Works. Okay, that is the number one selling prayer book as we speak on Amazon. Yeah. So Your Lane Talk Show, episode 149, Life After the Storm, Living with Purpose Beyond Breast Cancer, is brought to you by John Shoe Store and Accessories, Airwick, distributed by Thompson Trading, Tropical Gyros, Your Lane Life Coaching, and Children's Dream Journal. Now, parents, every dream your child has carries meaning. Don't let them be forgotten. The Children's Dream Journal helps you capture dreams and guide your child's destiny with prayer and purpose. You can find it at All Seasons Book and Gift Center in Palmdale Shopping Center, and you can also find it on Amazon. It's called the Children's Dream Journal. Go ahead, if you have children and you know that they dream, go ahead and purchase that book so that they could write those dreams in. They not only have an opportunity to write it in, they could also draw what they've dreamt. For those who may not articulate what they want to, they are unable to articulate their dreams, they can draw it out, all right? Children's Dream Journal, you can find it at All Seasons Book and Gift Center or on Amazon. Now, let's introduce our speaker. Anya Adderley is a 48-year-old, four-year breast cancer survivor, a proud single mother to her 13-year-old son, Andre, and a native of Exuma. By profession, she is a dedicated banker, but her true testimony lies in her incredible journey of resilience. In October 2020, Anya was diagnosed with stage 2 triple negative breast cancer, one of the most aggressive forms. She courageously underwent 16 rounds of chemotherapy, followed by a bilateral mastectomy with reconstructive surgery. Today, Anya shares her story to bring hope, encourage early detection, and remind others that healing is possible. Her journey is a living testimony of faith, strength, and perseverance. I want to thank you so much, Anya, for being a part of Your Lane Talk Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. It's a privilege to have you here. It's a privilege and an honor. Put your mic a little. Yeah, you can move it. There you go. So, Anya, how are you doing anyway?
I am doing wonderful.
Yeah?
Thank you.
That's good. You look absolutely beautiful. I want you to take us back. I want you to take us back to October 2020. What was it like to hear the words, you have breast cancer? Or maybe they wasn't as bold as saying it like that. What did they tell you?
Well, actually, she was, and it was solely by my request, because I actually discovered the lump early on in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with a lump growing, your first thought is always, you know, there could be something possibly wrong. So when I went to my doctor, because I live on the island, I knew she would call me. So I told her, when you call, of course, you're going to say, come, but I need you to tell me on the phone exactly what it is. So I was, you know, mentally preparing myself for that conversation. Wow. So when she called and I told her, I said, maybe I would, I'm sure I would probably be at work. So when you call, if I can talk, I will talk. If I can't talk, I'll just say and I'll just listen. But I need you to tell me what it is on the phone. I just advise that the results came back and it was malignant. For breast cancer, yes.
Now, you said in your bio that you had stage 2 triple negative breast cancer. Tell me what that is, for those who don't know what that is, because we all know from what I've read is the most aggressive. But can you share a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, with breast cancer, some are fed by hormones from your bodies, but mine didn't. It just a cancer that wasn't feeding off any hormones, wasn't feeding off anything from the body, but just there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what the triple negative is.
You endured 16 rounds of chemotherapy. Now, I can tell you, I have some co-workers, I have aunts who talk to me or tell me about chemotherapy. And some of them, they'd be like, oh, you don't understand. You know, the throwing up and the bad feeling and not being able to come out the bed and all these different things. 16 rounds of that?
Yes. Well, actually, for me and with everybody, everybody's experience is different.
Different. Mm-hmm.
But for the first round, I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
2 days after I had, because what I learned from the chemo that I took, my first 48 hours were my best time. But that first round,
mm-hmm.
I was waiting, like, okay, what next? But oh my God, that second round, after the second day, it was like, for lack of a better word, like something. And I was out for the count, the vomiting, the nausea, neuropathy, I mean, everything, the mouth sores, memory loss, everything came with that second round and moving forward. Of course, from the first round, I lost my hair.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that cutting hair was always something that I did, just grow cut. So
mm-hmm.
I actually didn't even cut it beforehand. I just left it to see how it would actually drop out. So that didn't affect me, but
mm-hmm.
the bad feelings. Oh my God, the anxiety, the panic attacks. Yes, it was bad.
Mm. So yes. So talk to us about how you were emotionally as you were going through this process. Like, what were some of your thoughts? What were you thinking about? Like, what were you holding on to?
The hope, God's, my faith, and I wanted to live. I knew I had to live. I pushed through. My son was my biggest inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
As a single mom, I said, God, you know, I won't leave my son in this world. Of course, I know I have family who would no doubt raise him, but there's no love in this world like a mother's love.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be there for my son, and
mm-hmm.
that was my fight. That was my purpose. That was my reason. And I just gave, I knew I was in for the fight of my life,
mm-hmm.
but I was there for it.
So were there any times of doubt at all through
yes.
this journey?
There were times that I felt doubt. I didn't, you know, doubt God, because I knew whatever, even if his will had to be done and God forbid I didn't make it, that was okay too. I prepared myself for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there were times when I felt I was going to die. There were times. There, I had about maybe 2 to 3 times that I was like, okay, God, this is it. I know I'm going to die. And
tell me about one of them. What was it like? Where were you? What were you thinking? What was happening during that time that made you think those thoughts?
I was prepping. Besides, after just having chemo and the bad feelings to go along with it, I was actually prepping for a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they gave you the drink to take, to drink the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was drinking that, and that would just not go down because I had really bad hemorrhoids, constipation, all of that. So they needed to see what was going on, and I could not get that drink down. Every time I drank some, I vomited. I was in the bathroom at a hotel in Noonan, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and I were there, and every time I drank a little, I brought it back up. I drank a little, I brought it back up, and I was so weak till I passed out in that bathroom, fell down, hit my head on a tub, passed out. And I remember just laying there, and I was like, Lord, I'm going to die. This is it. I'm going to die. And it's like I saw the light, and I felt that was going to be it. And I don't know, and I was able to dial, and I dialed a former supervisor of mine, Michelle Higgs, and when she saw me, she just started praying. She didn't ask any question, and she was just praying. And that's the last thing I heard. And then I remember telling my sister, call the doctor, call the hospital. And she got the ambulance there. They took me out. I ended up spending the night in emergency care that night at a local hospital. And the next day, when I came to, I was like, what happened? Yes, I thought I was going to die that night.
Oh, my God. So tell me about another one.
Home in Exuma, that night, my son, he's asthmatic, and I was having another bad round of chemo. And, you know, with COVID then on the island, when you would, you know, go to the hospital, everybody automatically assumed it's COVID with bad feelings. I said, if I take my son there, I don't want them to call an emergency flight, get him into Nassau. I can't go with him. I can't be there with him. So I decided that I was going to, through all what I was feeling, all I was going through, I didn't alarm anybody that he had a, he was running a fever. He was not feeling well. He was wheezing. But I was there administering his giving him his Ventolin and his nebulizer. Mm-hmm. And I was praying to him. I was like, God, I'm having a trash can here, vomiting on the next. And I was just pushing through. Jesus. And I laid back on the bed. I was like, Lord, if you want to take me, you can, but just see about my son. Just see about my son. And I alerted my sister, who is a Nassau. She's a nurse. And I was like, she said, you think you should go to the clinic? I said, I'm going to watch his temperature. And if it gets just high enough, then I'll go. I said, but I'm going to try and push through. She was like, but what about how you're feeling? I was like, God got this. And it's like something just came over me. And it was like, God was just like, be still. Just listen. And it's like he automatically took over and said to do this, do this. Do, and I just did it. And despite how I was feeling and what I was going through, I don't know how I did it, but God did. That's all I can say, God did.
So you said that he was the, your son, Andre, he was the hope that you just was holding on to. Like, even in that, because you did a scenario of, you know, having to throw up while dealing with him and all these other things. How else were you trying to balance as a mother and going through all of this?
I just did.
Community, friends,
well,
family.
I mean, my family was there, but at the time, that particular night, the only persons that were home were my mom, him, and myself. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't know how to administer the medication, so I just had to do what I had to do. But I had my sisters there. Every round of chemo that I went to, because I had to fly from Exuma on Wednesday, had my pre-op appointments on Thursday, mm-hmm. chemo on Friday, flew back home either the Saturday or Sunday, and one of those two sisters was there with me every trip, along with one of my trips, both of them couldn't make it, so I had a friend of mine, she took time off from a flew over there with me. But family support, I had it. And of course, because it was COVID, nobody else could really go virtually on the phone or during COVID. I would have people on video call encouraging me, talking with me. And, you know, yes. So that family support, I had it 100%.
I love that. I love community. I love the fact that you can call on people. But you do you know that there are people, and there's one in particular, I don't mind sharing, it's a relative of mine who... whenever they find themselves in situations like something like cancer, they would refuse to share it.
Sadly.
Do you know that there are some people who are so prideful that they, and I use the term prideful because to them it's like, I don't want to bother nobody.
Yeah.
I don't need nobody to feel sorry for me. I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You have some people who would try to be as independent as they possibly can to avoid community. And so I just want to take a moment to let those who are tuning in know community is important.
It is.
It's not good. And we think that this thing is only for husband and wife, but it's not good for man to be alone.
No.
Okay? We don't. What, one could chase 1,000, two could chase 10,000. My family is going to get on me on this, but that's okay. I have to share this. I believe that my aunt would have still been here today had she reached out prior to. It's as if she waited at the last minute to say she needed help.
Yes, that is, you know, so sad. Sadly, you know, some people, for whatever reason, because, you know, sometimes we say people can do it, but I guess it's one of those situations where you don't actually know what you would do until you get in the situation, because some people are, you know, just that private that they choose to do it. But
I can't even say private. I have to call it out. I have to call out and say prideful. Y'all could come for me if y'all want to. I don't care. It's pride, because what that is doing is not being able to. You could have had help. And that's why I like places like community support, like Jenny Dean, Caring and Sharing Cancer Society, and Sister, and all these other people who bring in other people who are going through the same thing, so that you have something and someone to hold on to. You have hope. You have people around your community that's praying for you, who could have been praying for you. But Jen, you want to be by yourself because you don't want nobody. First of all, probably in your business. And then secondly, you don't want to take nobody out their way.
Yes.
That's selfish. Yeah, I calling it out. It's selfish and it's prideful. If you don't have nothing else, think about someone who you could. You don't want to live for yourself. Try hard. Think about your son. Think about your daughter. Think about a family member who really loves you. Hold on to something. It's not about you. Let's take a break. I get too emotional, and I'm sorry. I don't want to be biased. My family coming for me today, by the way. Let's take a break, okay. Please.
Need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your marriage? I believe we can help. At Your Lane Life Coaching, our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you from where you are to your desired outcome in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website at www.yourlanelifecoaching.com.
Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles, with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. I just want to apologize for being a little emotional today. It hurts. And I'm going to read a few of the comments on our social media account. First of all, there's a commenter that says, "Continue to give God all the praise and glory, my daughter." That's from Edna Brown.
It's my mom.
Okay, mommy. Okay. Takasa says, "Such courage and a testimony about a mother's love." Nadia says, "Lord, help all our sisters who are fighting this disease." Yes, Lord. Siobhan says, "God gives unbelievable strength." I don't want to go through all, but I want to go through this one in particular. This is from the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. And their comment was, "Sometimes patients feel like they are a burden to others. And some also are ashamed because they got cancer."
Yes.
I understand that. but you will never be a burden. I can't. Just give it a shot. Give it a try. Find someone to talk to. We have organizations who are here for you when you're going through what you're going through. All right? If you feel as if you might be a burden on your family, okay, but you have organizations who are able to support you, unwilling to support you. I've seen it. I grew up with, when I first heard about cancer support, I think it was Sister when I heard it, okay? And the reason why I know more because of this talk show where I want to ensure, create awareness for those who may be going through it and need support. But here is another thing that was mentioned. It says, sending love, Trish. It's hard when we respect the decisions of our family members. That part, man. Because you want to respect them, right? Yes. You want to do what... let me stop right there. Okay, so there's a texter that says, good day. Don't apologize. Emotions are a part of the human experience. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's move on. Okay. No apology needed, and you don't have to apologize. Thank you for that, Paul. I appreciate that. You said that you are now passionate about early detection, and I'm glad that we got that part across, because so many people would rather not go to the doctor to hear that response, even though they feel, and I get in trouble again. I'm going to just say someone I know, took a very long time to go to the doctor, even though they felt something, because they did not want to hear what the doctor had to say. They were afraid.
They were.
I want you all to know, and I'm not going to say, because once again, they would know, you know? So I'm going to leave that there. But I want you all to know what the enemy is trying to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The mere fact that you don't want to have knowledge, the Bible said, it is through knowledge that the just be delivered. In order for you to know what is going on with your body, you should go and get your physicals, get your mammograms, okay? And you have to pull down the spirit of fear. Okay, because it doesn't make sense that you don't want to know and you don't want to find out, and then you're killing yourself anyway. Because there are a lot of things that you could have been doing to help and probably circumvent, or, you know, the chemo may come in at a certain time. You're going to wait until it's last minute, and then you have nothing, no life.
Sadly, some people, though, it's sad, but that's a choice some people choose to make. And I guess it's through forums like this where we share our stories, we speak up, we let people know, you know, it's okay that you're going through it. Let's, you know, talk about it. And since joining the Jenny Dean Karen Sharon group, I mean, when you get to hearing the other person's talk and you hear the other lady's stories, you realize sometimes when you think you've been through some stuff, when you hear what people go through, you get a different appreciation. And, you know, a deep appreciation for life to say, wow, if you survived it, you know, I can, and that gives me all the more reason to. And I also shared something at my church. You know, we get to the point where we are a living testimony and we can help so many people and we don't even realize it, because I had a lady who asked to talk to me. And when I went to talk to the lady, she got into talking, and she came right out. And the first words that came out of her mouth is, I can't take it anymore. I think I want to kill myself. And I looked at her, I was like, what? Why? And she went on to tell me she was going through breast cancer. She had already lost one breast. She was in the process of going through having to lose the other breast, and she was just in so much pain. And all she was going through, it was so much. She felt she couldn't go on because she didn't have that family support. She told me she had the insurance, she was doing the treatment. I was like, ma'am, you already have the biggest part. You have the means. You know how many people die because they don't have the means, you know, going through the public system. It's not always the fastest fastest is not always the best, but you have insurance, you have that private care. Mom, you don't have to kill yourself. See, a lot of people, they don't understand, because I didn't come right out and tell her right away that I'm a survivor, mm-hmm. because I wanted to see where the come. Mm-hmm. So when she said, you don't understand, and she kept telling me that, it's like, I actually do. Mm-hmm. And I showed her, because she had showed me where her heart was. I was like, here's mine. I was like, I had both of my breasts removed. What you're going through now is what I've already gone through. God brought me to it. And she just burst down in tears, and she talked with me, and I encouraged her, and I even invited her to come and share in our group. And she said the next meeting that we have, because I've still been in contact with her, and she's going to come. And then I asked her, I was like, why did you choose to talk to me? How did you get here? Did you do your banking? She said, Mom, I don't even have an account with y'all. She was just led to come to that bank, come in there, and she pointed me out. So I thank God that I had a story to share with her, because if I hadn't had a story to share with her, she would have really walked out there saying, I really don't understand, and God knows what she could have done to herself, because she actually advised and expressed to me that she wanted to end her life. So just thank God for the testimony.
That's it. I was about to say, that's the power of testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You'll be surprised of what you opening up your mouth can be a hope, a light of hope, something. And it's so powerful. That's why I'm so grateful to have you here, because I know that somebody who's tuning in right now may feel as if they're at their wit's end. In the month of October, from what I've gathered, is normally where most of the detection is being known, because of course we always pushing people to go and get tested, go and get your mammograms, et cetera, et cetera. So for someone who may have just found out, let's say yesterday, that they have been diagnosed with breast cancer, I want you to talk to that individual. I want you to talk to them.
Cancer, you know, a lot of times people feel cancer is a death sentence. It is not. And early detection, especially, there is hope. There is hope. Even I've known people who've even come back from the biggest stage four breast cancer. I know people who survived it and who have many years of survivorship. So there is hope. Talk to somebody. Get the necessary help. Don't feel. Don't. You don't have to carry it alone. And we have a group that you're open to welcome to join anytime. You just reach out to us and we will be there to assist. You don't have to carry this burden alone. Talk to somebody.
I want you to. It would have been nice to have the Katha on today, right? But I want you to talk to me a little about your experience at Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. And the reason why I say that is because everyone has different experiences. Some people may come in skeptical. Some people may come in just because they were invited by someone else. Some people may just not have family and friends, so they just need someone to talk to. I know you said you already had a community with family and friends, yes. But what brought you?
My aunt, who is also a breast cancer survivor, she is a part of the group, my Aunt Sheila, mm-hmm. and she invited me to join the group, and we were on Zoom, and as soon as they started, the ladies started talking, and we did the icebreaker with everybody introducing themselves. You know, even though we were on a Zoom call, mm-hmm. I could have felt the warmth. I could have felt the welcome. And I just said, you know what? This is the group for me. And the amount of things that we get done within that group, the Cressa, she just works so hard, and she just provides so much for people to support. Even down to all of the care packages that they give, the fruits, the vegetables, all of the exercising she gets done, all of the seminar and the talks. It is just awesome, and just the fellowship. And when we do get to meet in person, all of the ladies sharing their story and getting to fellowship with one another and hear each other's story and encourage one another. Yes, sadly, since I've joined, we've lost a few. And, you know, God bless their souls, because the reality of it is we know there are not everybody who's going to make it, because a lot of people that I started my journey with, sadly, I've already attended their funerals. And, you know, it just makes you have a greater appreciation, because God knows it could have been me.
Yeah.
That, you know, But Jenny Dean, Karen Sharon group, oh my God, awesome, awesome, awesome group of ladies.
And this is what I'm trying to encourage others who may be going through it. Yes, you have. Some people be like, oh, I don't want nobody in my business. I don't know why I'm being led to go back here. But I want you to know that you are not going to get through this on your own. From the moment you decide that you're going to bite the bullet and go to the doctor to hear what the doctor has to say, go and let them hold your hand with you. Y'all hold hands together. Whatever it is that is necessary, have someone with you, because you can't do it by yourself.
No.
You can't. You're going to need that support. You're going to need someone, in some cases, just to say everything is going to be all right.
You're correct.
And that is what I want. I don't know, I'm pushing this, but the importance of community is vital. It's vital. You cannot do this on your own. Even with Jesus had 12 disciples, he could have done everything on his own by himself if he wanted to. Even after he left, he left them there. He said, I'm going to give you a helper. Okay, they've already seen his miracles. They probably was already doing one or two. But he said, I'm going to leave someone with you. Why? Because we cannot do this by ourselves.
Right.
So I'm sorry for just put... So I know I keep on apologizing, right? I don't know, but I need to stop. But I know for a fact that God has led me to say to someone who's trying to do this by themselves and don't want anyone to know their business, they're either going to know your business in the papers, God forbid, or they're going to know your business to the point where they're going to help you so that you could get through this situation. If you understand what I'm saying, hold somebody's hand, go through the journey together. And I'm saying this because of what I've experienced in my family. I'm saying this because of people who I know who did not want to go to the doctor to hear the news. Take someone with you. I'm saying this for people who want to be quote unquote private. If you don't want to have a friend, have someone with you to go through this. All right, I can leave that there because I've been pushing that a little too long. But I know somebody, mind or heart change because of what that. You're going to need someone to help you.
Everybody needs somebody sometimes.
Glory to God. Now that, you know, we spoke about your lifestyle with going through the process of cancer, there were some things that you had to stop eating, perhaps, and there are some things that you had to have eaten or to keep you going. Talk to me about the journey of your diet. How was that for you from the moment you found out to where you are now?
Well, with cancer, yes, there's a lifestyle change. You know, the things that we used to eat, the things we used to consume, you don't do it anymore, and you're not supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, I don't live a perfect life. Because, you know, you're here today and we could be gone today. So some guilty pleasures that I want to still enjoy, I do enjoy.
And yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. I am not going to sit here and sugarcoat, oh, I don't eat this and I don't eat that. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe, but.
It's hey, got a little something.
Yes. If I want to treat myself to a little something sweet mm-hmm. to eat, you do it. And I know the quest is going to say, because we just had a talk yesterday with a doctor, even once a week, it's maybe once a month, but oh boy.
Oh.
No. My moderation is not once a month.
So what are some of the things that, I don't know if the diet is customized per person based on the individual, or is it something that someone who has cancer or breast cancer, that they should not be eating.
No.
Can you share some of the things that a cancer patient should not be eating?
Well, sugar, cancer feeds off, you know, high intake and excessive intake of sugar and all of the carbs and all of the, you know, the bad and the fatty foods that mm-hmm. we enjoy. However, with talking with, I had a nutritionist at the cancer center that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is different, and they have, you know, everything tailored to somebody. So what somebody can eat and somebody can intake, I can't necessarily, you know. But you don't want to, I don't harp on it and judge people and say, oh, you shouldn't eat this, mm-hmm. or you shouldn't be eating that, because there are a lot of things that we do but in everything is in moderation. Alcohol, because of my chemo, I don't have a toleration for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't bother to, you know, to drink. I used to drink before my diagnosis, but now it's just I'm unable to tolerate it. So I can have an occasional, maybe a small glass of wine mm-hmm. or a Radler beer or something, but I don't drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm. It says, honestly, a more dedicated focus on nutrition is needed for cancer patients and survivors. You cannot go back to the same lifestyle there is before cancer and then the after cancer health decisions. Someone coming for you. I just want you to know.
That's okay. That's okay.
All right. But, you know, as... Hello.
Hi.
Dr. Teddy?
Yes.
Oh, Lord of mercy. Y'all, look here. Let me tell y'all something. We have Dr. Theodore in the studio today. And I ain't gonna talk his business. Because what I did was I actually put one or two little questions on here just in case he show up. But because we're meeting for the first time, I ain't gonna put you on blast today. But welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry for my lateness.
That's okay. Dr. Theodore is here. He is an oncologist. And guess what? I don't have any information to share. So I'm going to ask him to share a little bit about himself so he could, you know, let y'all know a little history of, you know, his background of who he is, where he studied, et cetera, how long he's been an oncologist, okay. et cetera.
All right. Well, I'll start from the last part and move backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been a medical oncologist now for about 25 years. I was trained at the Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida. Before that, I did a residency in internal medicine at Baylor College of Medicine. And before that, I did medical school and undergraduate at University of South Florida in Tampa. And before that, I was a graduate of St. John's College here
okay.
in the Bahamas.
Giant.
Yeah.
I got you. Got you, sorry. Got
Llewellyn
got
House.
You. Burton. Okay. All right. Let's leave that there. Sir, I want to thank you. Okay. So for those who don't know, Theodore Teddy Turnquest, he's an oncologist. And, of course, you could share your medical practice or where you're located.
So we have a private office, Oncology Consultants, which is on Nassau Street. I'm also a consultant medical oncologist for the Princess Margaret Hospital, which I've been for the last approximately 25 years. And we also consult on patients at all the private facilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming to Your Lane Talk Show that airs on 3:30 on Guardian 96.9 FM.
Okay.
All right, just letting you know. Now, once again, we have with us Anya and we have Dr. Turnquest on board. Anya is a cancer survivor, right? So I don't know while you were heading here if you were able to tune into the show while you were on board with us, but she was sharing that she had triple negative stage 4 cancer.
Stage two
cancer. And sir, while you're here, you know, I can try to milk. That don't sound right. That don't sound right. But I want to get as much as I can out of you, and then we'll go back to Anya. And one of my questions is, for those who may not fully understand, what exactly is breast cancer and what makes some types of so aggressive? I want you to share with the listening audience, please.
So breast cancer encompasses a big term. So within the terms of breast cancer, you have breast cancer that starts with the ducts, that starts within the ductal cells, so the ducts that lead the milk out to the nipple. And then you also have another type of breast cancer called lobular breast cancer, mm-hmm. which is the lobules, which are the portion that makes the milk. So milk is produced in one section, comes out through a duct in the other section. The more common type of breast cancer we see, though, is what's called a ductal carcinoma, invasive ductal carcinoma. So as far as, so those are the types. And then what you're talking about, triple negative, what that means is when we characterize breast cancers from basically their behavior, one of the things we want to know is this breast cancer responding to the hormones in the person's body or not? So that's called hormone receptors. So we want to know if they're hormone receptor positive, which is estrogen or progesterone positive. The other type proteins we look for in a woman with breast cancer is something called HER2. And HER2 is a protein that is that we have as human beings normally on our surface of our cells. But if HER2 is over, and about a third of women, the HER2 protein is overexpressed. And if that's overexpressed, then that's called a HER2-positive breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So statistics that we look at from the person with breast cancer, they kind of give us a good idea of how that breast cancer will behave and what it responds to. Now, triple-negative breast cancer just means that the estrogen receptor was negative, the progesterone receptor negative, and the HER2 portion was negative as well. So for many years, we knew that women with triple-negative breast cancer had a more aggressive form of breast cancer. And it's actually a lot more common in women of African descent, right? And also a lot more common in women that are premenopausal at the time of their diagnosis. So it actually ends up being sort of a very scary breast cancer for women. And that was up until a couple of years ago. So a couple of years ago, what we found is that this subtype of breast cancer is actually what we call immune hot. And what it means is that the immune system actually can recognize that form of breast cancer as being foreign to the body. So the newer therapy over the last 3 years has been to combine immunotherapy with chemotherapy in women with triple-negative breast cancers. Mm. And that has actually led to a marked improvement in outcomes for women with triple-negative breast cancer.
So let me ask you, sir, you know, our country, as you've stated, you've seen that it's mostly women of African descent,
right?
You know, and so to, out of all of the various forms and types that you've listed, what is the most common one that you've found here in the Bahamas?
Well, women diagnosed with breast cancer usually diagnosed between the ages of 45 and 55 in our country. Mm-hmm. Still, the majority of women are hormone receptor positive, so that's still the majority. Among women under that age group, we see an increase in triple-negative breast cancers, but the vast majority are still hormone receptor positive breast cancers or HER2-positive breast cancers.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know that this is the month where we usually do, you know, we create awareness and all those other things, but we hear about early detection saves lives. Can you explain what early detection really means in terms of survival rates and treatment outcomes?
Of course. So the push for early detection has been ongoing for a long time. And what that, the impact it has really is in the hormone receptor positive breast cancers. So those are tumors that typically tend to be a little bit more slower developing and slower growing. And like I said, in the age range between 45 and 55, when most women are going through menopause, the density of the breasts actually changes. So the breasts become little. And screening in that venue increases the likelihood that you can pick up a breast cancer earlier when it's a very small size of stage one. Therefore, at a stage one, you're able to, sometimes surgical intervention is all you need at that point. Yeah.
You know, I went, I got my mammogram this year.
Right.
I got my my physical. And this is the first time that I met this particular gynecologist. That's only because my kids go to the pediatrician that's also at that facility. And I shared with her, I know I look young, okay? I know I look young, all right? Okay, thanks.
Right.
But I shared with her, I said, I want to get a mammogram today, you know? And she's like, you're so young. What do you need a mammogram for? You ever had one before? And I saw the question she was asking. She asked, obviously, you know, if I have any history, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, actually, I do, you know? And so we went through the process All right, but I'm not going to share that because I don't want to scare anyone. I want you all to go and get it done. Now, there's a reason. One of the reasons why I really wanted to ensure that I'm okay is because during puberty, there was a lymph node that I had behind, you know, the nipple. I can share this, right? The nipples. Mm-hmm. And every so often when I do get a physical, they would all just use their hands, you know, just to see if it's okay. Has it grown since X, Y, Z? No, it hasn't. There's still something in the back of my mind. And I want you to share a little bit about that. I don't know if it's anyone else who's ever had, you know, those things there at that, and it was benign. But talk to us about that.
So, without seeing your stuff, it's likely you had something called a papilloma, which is when the milk gland comes into the nipple complex. There's a little bit, this area where you can collect a little bit of milk, and that can dilate a little bit, and sometimes it gets blocked.
I have three kids. That was always a problem for
right.
me.
So So remember now, you don't have just one duct. You have like several ducts coming down. That's why when you breastfeed, you know, you see the milk coming out of several holes. Mm-hmm. So those ducts can get blocked right at the nipple complex, and they can show up as a papilloma. Yeah.
But is it? I mean, should I be concerned? Even though, you know, they said it's non-cancerous, whatever. Is there a means of it developing into something?
More than likely not. So usually, like I said, that's usually at the sort of the end of the nipple complex. Mm-hmm. And usually with manipulation, you'll see some sort of cheesy stuff come out sometimes. And,
sorry, sir. Don't claim that on me. But no, I haven't seen
it. Yeah. And sometimes women can get bleeding from papillomas, and it could give the fear of breast cancer. But typically, right underneath the nipple complex, and you would probably see some changes with your periods, your hormones, and the like will induce changes as well in those. So what's more common, and what you may have as well, is something called fibrocystic breast. And that's with feeling the breast, it feels sort of like grapes, or small grapes within the breast. And a lot of women in the Bahamas have fibrocystic breast disease, which sometimes gets confused with a pre-malignant condition. Mm-hmm. It's not pre-malignant. It's so common, about 10 or 15% of women have it, that we're now starting to think it's just a normal variant.
Mm. Listen, if you have a question for Dr. Turnquist, by the way, someone says, Dr. Turnquist is the absolute best. All right, okay. If you have a question for him, you can give us a call at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Listen, advantage of this opportunity. Someone says, if you start puberty at 9 or 10, is your risk greater for breast cancer?
So that's a fantastic question. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that the length of time that you have what we call, you basically have breast and breast tissue, is turned out to be one of the things that increases risk for the development of breast cancer. Because those duct cells and those lobular cells, they actually change over during your lifetime. And obviously, the more times they change over during your lifetime, the longer that period is, the more likely that, or the increased risk that something can go wrong with that. So that is one of the things that is happening. The other thing that's happening, though, is worldwide, we're seeing an increased risk, amount of women premenopausal that are developing breast cancer. So it's not just us in the Bahamas. Everybody's seeing it.
I know there's a lot of confusion about genetics, right? How much does family history play into breast cancer, the breast cancer risk, and when should someone consider genetic testing?
So genetics plays a big part if you're a gene positive. Mm. If you're gene negative, not so much. So if you look at all comers who develop breast cancer, only about 5% of women would actually, their breast cancer would be genetically driven. However, if you do have a strong family history, the general rule of thumb is you take 10 years away from the time that, you know, your mother or your sister was diagnosed. So you subtract 10 years, and that's when you should start being screened. So if your mother was diagnosed at 55, you should start at 45. If your mother was diagnosed at 45, you should probably start at 35. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes into that one as well. Because younger women, before you go through menopause, tend to have a lot of lobules and a lot of breast tissue, which makes the mammogram a lot more difficult. As far as it's not as effective a screening tool. So typically in that instance, there's mammograms and then people put on to ultrasounds and those sorts of things. But I think your question really is, how much does genes play to this into this thing?
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the genes that you're talking about. So everybody has heard about BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes and the risk of developing breast cancer with that. But there are many other genes that are associated with breast cancer, some of them known, some of them just sort of emerging. And so does everybody need genetic testing? Probably not. But should everybody be sort of aware of what their breast, what their normal breast feels like? Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. what symptoms should women, and even men, because we want to touch on that a little bit, never ignore when it comes to breast? How many things that they should go straight to the doctor about?
So once you get a good idea of what your breast feels like, if you have a lump that's there and it's progressively growing, regardless of the size, that should trigger an evaluation, all right? Unfortunately, what happens is most people go, like the doctor said to you, well, you're so young, you don't necessarily need to do this, that kind of stuff. And I understand where that's coming from, but if you'd walked in and said, hey, this lump was in here a month ago, it's still here and it's not going anywhere, that should trigger a little bit more of an investigation into somebody. So painless growth doesn't have to be painful at all, just a growth that's persistent and not changing. If you're feeling it, if it feels like sort of a grain of sand or a rock, and that's a definite negative sign. Or if there's skin changes over the breast tissue, if it's red, or if the breast starts to contract, then that's a big flashing red sign that there's something wrong.
This also applies to men, all the symptoms you showed, you stated.
Yeah, so men have breast tissue. It's just that ours have not enlarged because of our hormones. Unfortunately, in Bahamas, we got a lot of guys that are a little bit chubby.
Yeah.
Therefore, have
got a little breast.
That's got you know, either A or B cup.
He's being modest with this.
A or B cup side, and so that breast tissue is also at risk for developing breast cancer. So the same things, the lump in the breast, if you have skin changes, it doesn't have to be painful. It's usually painless. Those are things that you should look out for. And women that are premenopausal, typically the story we hear is, I had my mammogram 6 months ago. I checked my breast every month, and I could swear to you, I woke up one morning and something was this big. And that's a not unusual story.
Really?
Yeah.
So you recommend it every month, just check it every month, not just...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, while you're in the shower, once a month, and just time it around your cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, when you menstruate, before you menstruate, your breasts get a little more
enlarged,
and that's your body preparing to have this baby, and then when it doesn't happen, it goes back down. But in that period where it goes back to normal, it's a good time to in the shower and do a self-breast exam.
So I've been asked to talk about, or allow you to talk about, conventional treatment and natural treatments, please.
So conventional treatment versus natural treatment. I'll start with natural treatments. So I get that question a lot. Can I do this naturally? Can I just change my diet? Can I drink a bush? Can I can I take this special juice? And will that work? So it's to that, and the answer to that question, the short answer to that question is probably not. And the reason why I say that is because whatever chemical you're trying to get from that juice or supplement, you know, you don't know the purity of it in that substance or in that supplement. That's the first thing. And it may not be to sufficient dose to impact, you know, treatment for your breast cancer. Conventional therapy, I know everybody's sort of afraid of chemotherapy, but conventional therapy in breast cancer has actually been transforming and continues to transform. And so these days, depending on the subtype, when I listed out the different hormone receptor positive, hormone receptor negative, HER2 positive, HER2 negative, triple negative, depending on the subtype, we're kind of starting to move away from systemic chemotherapy. So in people that are HER2 positive, the therapy that does the heavy lifting or does most of the work is an antibody therapy, where we give an antibody and then the immune system, your own immune system, does most of the heavy lifting on in that regard. For the lady with triple negative breast cancer, if it's neoadjuvant, the immunotherapy does the heavy lifting in that treatment paradigm as well. For hormone receptor positive breast cancer, sometimes hormonal therapy alone is what does the heavy lifting. So the paradigm is shifting away from conventional chemotherapy, mm-hmm. or cytotoxics is what we call it.
So I want to just share briefly on the type of foods that we eat, especially in our country. Does that pose a risk, a greater risk for breast cancer, any form of cancer?
So diet does matter.
Yeah.
Diet. It's turned out the diet matters even more than we appreciated even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the types of foods. So that's kind of along the lines of, if you see people that come from the island, what they're eating is actually so much different than what we're eating in Nassau, right? and so, like, if I get a patient that's from Crooked Island, you know, man, ladies live in Crooked Island.
That's all my hometown. Okay, go on.
All the much, you know, they're like, you know, 70 and 80 years old, mm-hmm. carrying 5-gallon buckets of water up and down, and like, but their diet was fundamentally very different than our diets. Mm-hmm. The more processed foods, the more the foods that have more, I would say, chemicals, but hormones in them. Mm-hmm. So our foods tend to be more hormonally active and more things that kind of change our normal hormone levels. And it's probably part of the reason why we're seeing younger girls start their periods earlier, mm-hmm. develop breasts earlier. And like, it's obesity itself. Is now being shown to be directly linked to the development of breast cancer. And so maintaining a healthy weight is not just aesthetically pleasing, but it's actually helpful in the prevention of breast cancer.
But then you have persons like myself, right? People that don't have the weight. But then, you know, you still want to be able to eat or have a better nutrition, you know, a better diet. So what can I do? Because I exercise too. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the things that I can avoid eating to not, you know, to reduce that risk for me, seeing that I do have a history?
Right. So I would say, when I walked in, you guys were talking about nutritionists and seeing nutritionists. Mm-hmm. So I think nutritionists actually play a really important role. They're sort of underutilized in our country. Mm-hmm. And so I would never tell somebody an exact diet to take, because there's always preferences in there. The key I would say is sort of everything in moderation, all right? Everything in moderation, mm-hmm. And making sure that, you know, you're not consuming excess calories. Excess calories, then the net result is, you know, you put on weight. So the one of the key things is sort of the more fat cells you have floating around or active, those fat cells convert some of our hormones that were pre-estrogen-like hormones into estrogens. Mm-hmm. And so you get a higher estrogen level, sort of the more fat cells people have. And that higher estrogen level is what translates more into the development of...
Now, as we're wrapping up, I don't want to continue on with this, but I do want to read what was stated. So glad you touched on that. Young girls are reaching puberty so much faster, and food plays a huge part of that. Please be careful of the amount of processed and fast foods your family and children are consuming. And I don't want to get in trouble because these people is advertised on there, but everywhere you go, you see another fast food company just developing and coming up and, you know, building up and stuff. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? Clearly, we're giving the people the money because they have the money to go and build and do more stuff with it. You know, the franchises are all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's more of them and less of the, you know, I don't want to call the names of the companies, but that are healthier alternatives. And then, of course, if you don't want to cook at home, find another place, man. I got to be careful because you know where I work.
Right.
So, but just be mindful of your diet. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but after the break, we're going to ask Dr. Teddy to give us some urgent piece of advice. That's important. Mm. And then we're going to end with Anya sharing advice as well. I think she shared about someone who just was diagnosed, if they were diagnosed. But I still want you to end with something that is powerful for those who are tuning in, because you survived. Yeah. So let's take a break real quick, and then when we get back, we will wrap up the show.
You need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your believe we can help? At Your Lane Life Coaching, our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you from where you are to your desired outcome in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website at www.yourlanelifecoaching.com.
Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
This holiday season, let Air Witness enjoy limited edition scents like Apple Cinnamon Medley, Glistening Snow and Frosted Mint, Sweet Vanilla and Shea Butter, all infused with natural oils to bring warmth and cheer. Find Airwick's Essential Mist Diffusers and Scented Oil Warmers at Kelly's, Lowe's Pharmacy, Paradise Premium Foods, and Family Island locations. Airwick, activate your holiday essence.
Parents, don't ignore your children's dreams. In Genesis 37, Joseph shared his dreams, and though his father dismissed them, those very dreams revealed his destiny. God is still speaking to children today, even in their sleep. And as parents, we must listen, cover, and nurture. That's why I created the Children's Dream Journal, a tool to help you capture and protect what God is revealing to your kids. You can purchase your copy now on Amazon. Let's guard the destiny and our children's dreams together.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. We have with us the last couple minutes, we have Dr. Teddy Turnquist Theodore. Teddy Turncraft with us, and Anya, who is a cancer survivor. Dr. Theo is an oncologist, and we are just wrapping up the show. And my question, or my final question for Dr. Turncraft is, if you could give one piece of advice to every woman listening today about protecting her breast health, what would it be?
My piece of advice would be, do your monthly self-breast exams.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. Because okay. Mm-hmm. you would know better than anybody else what your breast is supposed to feel like. Mm-hmm. And if there's something abnormal that pops up, regardless of whether or not the physician you see or somebody else that you see about it, you can point out that this is abnormal for me and requires further investigation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a part of your Lane Talk Show. We got to get you back, man. We got to get you back for the full hour and a half. You've been just phenomenal. And thank you so much, Anya, as well. And Anya, I want you to share any final thoughts regarding your journey. You know, you're here. You made it. I want you to talk about, you know, or to encourage women who are tuning in as well, who been in or still in their journey, and they haven't come to the point where they could say, hey, I survived, because they're still in it. How do you speak to those group of people?
Just keep pushing. Don't lose hope. Just, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, just find a reason, find a fight. Find a reason to fight and continue to fight. And don't give up. And I also want to piggyback off Dr. Turncraft's early detection. Ladies, please pay attention to your body. And I know there's a heightened awareness in this October month, but every month, pay attention, because I stated I discovered my lump in March. You need to wait until October. Pay attention to your bodies and act on it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. There's a commenter that says, please know, let me read this properly, please know what your normal breast is so that when that normal changes, you can get it checked out. That is right, all right? So as we wrap up, I want to just share something that I, you know, was on my heart last night. I typed out. I want to leave you with this thought. Storms don't come to destroy us. They come to reveal what we're truly made of, yeah? And your story reminds us that even in life's fiercest battles, there is strength, there is hope, and there is purpose beyond the pain. The Word of God tells us in Isaiah 51 and 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Breast cancer does not have the final say. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Your faith, resilience, and the will to keep living do. And just like Anya, you too can rise from your storm and walk boldly into your purpose. So I challenge you today, those who are under the sound of my voice, don't wait for a diagnosis to start living intentionally. Your spirit, cherish your loved ones, and commit to walking in your God-given purpose every single day. All right. Not only are you living, walking your purpose, your lane represents your purpose. So continue to walk and stay in your lane. This has been Your Lane Talk Show. I'm Coach Trish Hanna, reminding you that your lane is your purpose. So stay in it and thrive. Your Lane Talk Show, episode 149, Life After the Storm, Living with Purpose Beyond Breast Cancer. It's brought to you by Your Lane Life Coaching. You can go to the website, www.yourlanelifecoaching.com, for life and relationship coaching information. We're also brought to you by John's Shoe Store and Accessories, serving you with two locations, Rosetta Street and Carmichael Road. Airwick, distributed by Thompson Trading, Tropical Gyros, and Children's Dream Journal. Parents, your children's dreams are not random. They can be a spiritual battleground. Don't dismiss their dreams like Jacob did with Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. Protect your children's destiny with the Children's Dream Journal, available at All Seasons Book and Gift Center, Palmdale Shopping Center, and you can also purchase it on Amazon. Now, if you are a new listener, thank you for tuning into the show and to the consistent supporters. Y'all are the real MVPs. I want to salute you. I also want to salute Jenny Dean, Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group, who has given me the opportunity to meet Anya for the first time. And she's been an honor. And of course, we thank you for this battle right now. Know that you're not alone. Go ahead and visit them. You could go on Facebook, rather. Jenny Dean, Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. You'll find some information there. Of course, and support is always there. Of course, you have other cancer support groups as well, but because this one brought you here, yes,
I encourage you to join.
Okay, all right. I just want to let you know. All right, so that's what we're doing. It ain't about competing or nothing like that, you know.
No,
because community is community. All right, but I can only tell you from what I know and what I've seen, she's been doing a phenomenal job.
Awesome.
Yeah. Next week we are going to have the show that was postponed in September due to the weather. I pray that you were all empowered, educated, and encouraged today. Oh, let me just share with the show. Is talking about recognizing what the enemy is doing in our children's dreams. Dun dun, right? Christopher Perceptions, he is a very popular gentleman on TikTok now at the moment, and he shared some things concerning him when he was younger, how he was just fearful because of what the enemy was trying to do while he was young, and he tried to steal his purpose because he was known to be a prophet. Right at a young age, they already prophesied over him that he was going to be a prophet, and apparently, that was. I mean, he's going to talk to you more, but I don't share too much. But that is what he's dealing with, and of course, he's going to share his testimony. And then I'm also going to share mine, because I also had a little battle in my dreams as well when I was younger, and it kept on going and going and going until I recognized it, and when I did, I completely thrashed it out. All right, so you want to know more about how do we deal with our children in their dreams when they come running to you and they saying, I had a bad dream. You want to know what their dreams are. Don't shove them aside. Don't ignore their dream in their dreams, okay? I want y'all to know that. So you want to tune into that show next week, Sunday, 3:30, same dial, nothing change. All right, and so I want to thank you for being a part of Your Lane Talk Show, everyone. Continue to be empowered, educated, and encouraged today. And until next time, happy Sunday.
Thank you.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Parents, don't ignore your children's dreams. In Genesis 37, Joseph shared his dreams, and though his father dismissed them, those very dreams revealed his destiny. God is still speaking to children today, even in their sleep. And as parents, we must listen, cover, and nurture. That's why I created the Children's Dream Journal, a tool to help you capture and protect what God is revealing to your kids. You can purchase your copy now on Amazon. Let's guard the destiny in our children's dreams together.